CampYell.ca virtual newsroom for this week. It's Marty and Charlie. The Canadian Premier League final is over. The season just started.
Over.
Yeah.
It's all gone. It's done.
Yeah. Anyways, Forge, back-to-back CPL champions, an incredible feat. We're going to get into everything that went into to Saturday and that that victory in just a moment. But as we're recording this just about an hour or two before, FC Edmonton announced that Jeff Paulus was resigning from his head coaching duties and taking a role essentially in their youth academy. Jeff, obviously, you know him if you know the Canadian Premier League. One of the inaugural seven coaches was signed on in 2018, has been part of FC Edmonton for 9 years. And again, has had a massive impact in this league. Charlie, what's your relationship with Jeff? And then, like, first off, what do you think that this maybe means for FC Edmonton and what this means for Jeff himself?
Yeah, it's not necessarily shocking news, because I feel like we all sort of got the vibe, especially from what he was saying, that something at least was going to happen in this sort of sense. But I mean, it's still kind of tough to have it confirmed, because I think everybody likes Jeff Paulus, right? Like, he's just always been such a nice guy and such a pleasure to deal. I mean, he'll call you out very easily if you say something about one of his players. And I'm sure pretty much everybody in the CPL and the one soccer community has heard from him before.
and CampYell.ca. Yeah. CampYell.ca has heard
no,
from him.
Yeah, CPL and one soccer. So we're there too. but yeah, he's always a pleasure to deal with and extremely passionate about not only FC Edmonton, but soccer in Canada. And kind of, he's always had a knack for kind of developing young players, and It's good to know that he's still going to be doing that for FC Edmonton, and I don't think it would really be FC Edmonton without him at this point. But it seems like maybe from a kind of X's and O's point of view, in terms of getting the best out of his players on the field, it sounds like they kind of wanted to go in a different direction, which, I mean, kind of makes sense. Like, you do maybe think that they played better than they got at the Island Games, but they still didn't win a game and they lost 6, so...
Well, that kind of leads into a second question I have here, which is, do we think that their stretch at the Island Games, again, 1 draw, 6 losses, do you think that's unfair, even to Jeff himself, to make comments like that, saying they might need someone new in the room when the circumstances are so extraordinary? You know, no preseason, you know, yeah. Everyone's heard this, but... And no Amir Didic as well for a large stretch of that tournament. Do you think that's kind of unfair to be, you know, to criticize even yourself at that point?
Yeah, I mean, I did kind of feel like the whole way that Edmonton was better than maybe they were getting out of it. I think they kind of missed some of the scoring, but I actually thought that they played pretty well in possession and they defended reasonably well for most of the tournament. And I did think that they were a talented team on paper, at least going in. Like, I didn't really see many problems with the way that Jeff had kind of put his roster together. And I think we'd been saying all along, like, look, FC Edmonton was kind of a work in progress. We kind of maybe would have liked to see them use this roster over a longer season. But obviously, that's not the situation, right? Like, we can't kind of... talk about the club if they'd had this, if they'd had more time, X, Y, Z, when that's not what they got, right? Like, then they didn't really take advantage of the opportunity they had. And, I mean, Jeff's hard on himself, I think. He's hard on himself for sure, but, I mean, like, credit him. We obviously don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Maybe he does feel like he's not as comfortable kind of leading the first team in that sort of sense.
But developed many great players from Edmonton, one of which is Prince Amanda, Prince and Jeff combined for one of my favorite quotes of all time from this league last year when he played Prince Amanda in the second last game of the season. And he said to One Soccer after, it took me 27 games to find out I had a winger. because he had yet to play mm-hmm. Prince Amanda. I think he could start him or start him rather than play him. Yeah, I mean, all credit to Jeff. And again, we'll still see him around the CPL. So yeah. Okay. Final 2020. Yeah. The big game on Saturday.
We should probably talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah. It made sense to talk about Jeff at the start, to be fair. Okay. So Forge takes down the Halifax Wanderers 2-0 to conclude the Island Games. Forge FC going back to back. We have to start there. How did Forge get the result? Because there were really a lot of talking points coming out of that game, watching it, that led to that result. It wasn't a fluke. So Charlie, what was Forge's game plan and how well was it executed through the 90 minutes there?
Yeah, well, they pretty much, yeah, they definitely came into the game with kind of a very specific idea of how they expected Halifax to play. We've kind of known all along, we've said this many times, like how Halifax plays this counterattacking game. They want to win balls in a kind of a tight midfield. They want to kill you on a counterattack. And Forge obviously knew that. We knew that. Halifax themselves knew that. And they kind of came out with a little trickery in this game. I think Forge did, because they played without the ball really for most of the game. They kind of gave it up a little bit to Halifax, and they were really uncomfortable. I think we saw at times. Like, did we not say on this very show last week that maybe Forge would think about kind of giving up the ball a little bit to see if Halifax is uncomfortable not being able to counterattack?
Well, Charlie, I think you said it best by saying that, you know, some of the best teams in the world, not to say Forge is one of the best teams in the world, best team in Canada in the Canadian Premier League, will throw something out in a final just to mix things mm-hmm. up. And I mean, if yeah. you're Bobby Smyrniotis, I ended up rewatching the two games, the Island Games before this one. And the one thing that stuck out to me is the two goals that Halifax scored on Forge in open play. There were three passes combined in both goals because they won the ball high and they just broke through because there was space, right? So in theory, mm-hmm. if Bobby ultimately thought, if Forge sits back, there's no space for someone like Akeem Garcia to exploit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Forge maybe set a bit of a trap for them and Halifax walked right into it. They didn't really adjust to kind of seeing off the jump that Forge wasn't going to give them these opportunities. I mean, like we say Forge sat back, but at the same time, their front three was actually really active and kind of giving Halifax a little taste of their own medicine. I think they had kind of like Chouinard and Johnny Grant on the wings, at least putting pressure on the fullbacks. Bobby talked a little bit about how he kind of put Moba Bouli out there and told him just kind of, dude, just run around in between the defense and the midfield, because Bobby kind of noticed that there's usually a lot of space between those two lines for Halifax. And
something, you know what, something for Moba Bouli that worked against Cavalry as well, how he would take the ball back for them and then bring it forward. It's almost the exact same way that he played against, you know, in the game before, which is interesting.
Yeah. 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 I think he had a pretty specific job, I think, and he pretty much executed it. Like he won balls and he was always kind of the nuclear option up front, right? Like then when Kyle Becker or somebody would win a ball in midfield, Babouli's probably already running and you can try and get him. And Forge isn't really a counterattacking team, but you're never going to say no to an opportunity when it presents itself. So Moba Bouli definitely was really impressive in his last two games of the tournament, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Let's talk about the Wanderers, though. Hardly a disappointing season. Not the way you'd want to go out. People talking a lot about the Christian Ochsner mistake at the end. I mean, that goal didn't even really matter, looking back realistically. And obviously it was a windy day, so... I mean, that was a sad way to go out. But, I mean, Oxner's a good example of this. You know, just the star players for Halifax maybe not living up to expectations in a final, or do you think that Forge ultimately just ended up smothering them enough? Thinking of, like, Andre Rampersad, for example, or Akeem Garcia.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what to make of kind of the performance we saw from, like, Garcia and Joao Morelli and Alex Marshall and so on, because they generally just didn't really have many chances. to do what they've done best in this tournament. Like they never really got the ball moving forward quickly. And I think a lot of that is partly down to the way that Halifax's midfield wasn't able to win balls. I do think that Andre Rampersad had a pretty disappointing game after being one of the better players at the tournament, especially in midfield. He wasn't really winning balls. Abubakar Sissoko was okay. He still made more passes than anybody in Halifax. He was still kind of trying to play his physical game in the midfield, but he also wasn't a huge factor. Maybe a little more so than Rampersad, but still, I don't think they ever really managed to find the guys up front in a way that they normally have. I thought the one Wanderers player I thought actually did have a pretty good game was Rigi. I think he only came out of it with a couple shots, but he at least was... He kind of plays a slightly different game because I don't know if he has the pace of a Garcia or a Marshall, so he kind of has to dribble at defenders a little bit more. And since they kind of had to do that on Saturday, I think Rigi was... He looked a little better for it. But overall, like they just didn't have the ball up front. And that's kind of the only way that they've been able to score.
I think you can maybe partially attribute that to, again, with this group, that was only their 10th game together, technically. And again, a brand new team, only retained 7 players. And to ask to have... you know, the that much the ball and be the creators, you know, is a big ask for a team that maybe doesn't necessarily know each other that well, the way the Forge does, the way the Cavalry does, mm-hmm. teams that can play that way. And maybe that was the difference. I mean, but credit to Stephen Hart, the coach, after for the Wanderers, he just basically said, look, this is something we can build our club around, you know, and carry on to the next season, knowing that, you know, starting on Saturday, or I guess Sunday, technically, you know, they were CPL finalists. They were contenders. And that's really going to change mm-hmm. your offseason going into 2021, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's probably a good point. Like, they are definitely a team that's new to each other. And I think we did give them a lot of praise throughout the tournament for the chemistry they've been able to develop, even despite being pretty new to each other. But I do think that if you work really hard to make one style of play work, and then you're all of a sudden forced to adjust to something completely different, then it's going to be really, really hard to pull off if you are a kind of an unfamiliar team like Halifax are. So I don't think we can be too disappointed in them, so to speak. Like, obviously that's a fantastic accomplishment there. I guess I don't really know what to make of kind of where the league is at the moment. Like, we obviously don't have this top two of Forge and Cavalry anymore, mm-hmm. but I don't know if I would say that it's a top three or that Forge has, or sorry, Halifax has supplanted Cavalry in a top two. So I don't really know what to make of it. I don't think a lot of the other coaches will really know either, except for probably Bobby Smyrniotis, who just knows that he's the best team in the league.
Yeah. It's, if you look back to this offseason, classic example, show you how fast things could move. When the Wanderers brought in Louis Belongoyet, that was a big signing.
Yeah.
And one of the quotes out of that, from I think it was maybe Harder or someone else, it was just sort of rumored, you know, that they thought of Belongoyet as being, you know, a marquee signing that's going to bring quality players to Halifax. And I don't need mm-hmm. to remind anyone that Louis Belongoyet was not a starter on Saturday, because they brought up, like, obviously, you know, Sissoko is playing out of his mind, Rampersad as well, right? Like, you know, that just goes to show you how quickly things can change. So who knows? Maybe they'll be able to attract another Louis Belonga yet this offseason. Okay, let's talk about Forge quickly. The question everyone's asking online is Forge FC a dynasty? I kind of wrote it down as a, I put it as a BS question to Charlie here in our notes, but it needs to be asked, because I mean, to win 2 in a row is impressive in any sport, in any league, but to do it, you know, off the hop of a league like this, you know, does that maybe make it more significant of a dynasty, or do you think that makes it a bit easier?
I don't know. I think it's you definitely have to give them a lot of credit for winning two championships under just completely different circumstances in both cases, right? Like, there was obviously last year, which is the long slog, and this year was just crazy.
How do you describe this year? I just exhale.
Just yeah. Dynasty is always a tough word. I do think that, like, when if we were to look back at the beginnings of the CPL, like, maybe, like, if we go, like, 10, 15, 20 years down the road, it'll be a little bit maybe more memorable to have, like, a team that kind of defined it. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I think this Forge team obviously does define the CPL. And they're probably, I guess we should probably mention, over the next few months, they're going to be representing the CPL on various enormous stages, right? When they go into CONCACAF, and then when they take on TFC in the Canadian Championship, they're going to be the only CPL team playing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they obviously are kind of the, in term from at least a footballing sense and a success on the pitch kind of sense, they are currently the face of the league, right? So I don't know if you'd be able to say dynasty yet. I think maybe you see what they do in CONCACAF or you see what they do in the Canadian Championship first. But it is kind of something special that'll probably be one of the things that we remember most from the first couple of years of the CPL.
Well, then maybe the follow-up question to that is, like, having a repeat winner, you know, is that good or bad for a brand new league? Because I could so easily see someone say, hey, like, wouldn't it be great to, you know, have someone like, you know, obviously FC Edmonton's a great example, Halifax, you know, Valor, like any of these clubs, mm-hmm. you know, to spread the wealth in some sense. But, you know, do you feel that it's maybe good to have a repeat winner because you have that face?
Yeah, it's a good question. Like, I've kind of thought about it a lot. I mean, I think it would have been a little bit more boring necessarily. I mean, I'm sure the game would have been awesome, but a little bit more boring if it had been Forge and Cavalry again in the final.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think we can all agree on that.
And I think we would all, most of us are probably going to have to admit that we were all probably a little bit rooting for Halifax as the kind of scrappy underdogs at points there.
No comment. Well, you know what? Okay. I think rooting in a sense where I think a lot of people's natural inclination is a lot of people that watch the CPL love Canadian soccer, and they think that the natural inclination is to spread the wealth. Like, why wouldn't you want another team? But like you said, like, you know, it didn't work that way. But I think that that's a natural feeling for people to have.
Yeah, I think the other thing that comes to mind is, like, in terms of people who are just being introduced to Canadian soccer and to the CPL especially, like, if they were to come across a few games on CBC, for example, or run into it online or something, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing for a casual or a new fan to be able to go, who's the good team in this league? Like, who are the villains, right? Like, I think you always need a villain, and that's probably Forge now. So I think it's a little bit of stability. Like, you're gonna come into a season, you're gonna be like, okay, these guys are the good team. Forge are the champions. They were the year before as well. And they're kind of a team that you can point to as kind of setting the standard. So I do think in all those kinds of senses, it's good. But I mean, it would also have been fun to have a different champion. I think there are benefits to both.
Well, I mean, something that people haven't talked about this season, which maybe will become more apparent in the offseason, is that Forge really is an aging team. In many ways, you think about, you know, obviously the under-21s thing in the first round, they just barely beat that, the 250-minute threshold. But you think about some of the, you know, younger players in the team, all 25, 26, you know, you've got Daniel Crutzen, I think would be considered one of the, you know, younger first-team players. And after his tournament, who knows where he's going? Kyle Becker's 30, right? You know, mm-hmm. who knows? Like, it's certainly not set in stone. And what has made them successful, you know, will have to change sooner rather than later anyways, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we kind of look at the team now, and I do think that they are going to go through more changes than maybe we expect over the next, maybe not year, but at least 2 years. Because, I mean, for one thing, there's guys on this team that will be able to take steps to other leagues, kind of whether that's to MLS or going to Europe or whatever. I mean, Bobby Smyrniotis, every time he's asked this sort of question, he says, listen, we come into this, we go to work every day expecting that we may eventually have to lose our best players, right? And we have to be able to adapt to that. But I, like, in just in terms of a championship core, like, it's not necessarily gonna last forever here in Forge, right? So it's gonna be about kind of about development and about smart recruitment, which they've done well so far. But I guess this is something that kind of plays out over a longer period of time, and I guess we'll see.
All right. Favorite moment from the Forge celebration. Lots of photos, lots of video to come out of that. What was your favorite bit?
Am I allowed to say Kwame Uwua and Anthony Novak specifically calling out Kurt Larson?
Yeah, that part was great on One Soccer. Yeah, yeah. So I meant to try to figure that out. Do we know what they're referring to?
What do you mean? Well, they called him Skip Larson, which is a reference to the American kind of loud pundit. But they also
saying something about they were saying that I think that Kurt had said something about like Tristan Henry or something. That part didn't make sense. They left a lot out there still.
Yeah, well, the Forge players are constantly going to bat for Tristan Henry, especially online, right?
Yeah, that's
true. Whenever they think that he's not getting his due, they'll come at you. They'll come at you.
Nominated for goalkeeper of the year. I mean, it's pretty undeniable this season. I really liked actually Anthony Novak when he tweeted about he just randomly shouted out Canadian Premier League sponsor El Jimador.
I wonder why.
Yeah, exactly. Just out of nowhere. I love that. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, I love how you can drink off the North Star Shield, drink champagne or whatever. Yeah. I think that shot, you know, that shot is so cool. And honestly, like, I don't know. I really like it, especially when you can, like, One Soccer and CPL photographers there, shout out to David Chance and Nora there, they shot like through the glass at times. That I don't know, I think if you know the shield goes on for years and years, that might be sort of the kissing of the Stanley Cup or whatever, right? I love that.
Yeah, it's a cool tradition. I don't know how practical it might be. Like, I'm sure that you get a lot of it on like your shirt and your face and so on, but I don't think you really care, and it does look awesome, right?
Yeah. Okay. We'll do the North Star Shield challenge where you pour a cup out and then you see how much lands on the floor, and then we'll give a replica North Star Shield to the winner. Those definitely don't exist, but we'll figure it out. Have to use a microwave plate.
Yeah.
Okay. We will be back on Friday for a special episode talking about, as you mentioned, Charlie Forge FC, the CONCACAF League draw, which is happening tonight, actually, on Monday as we're recording this. We'll have some reaction to that and also talk about the opponents and maybe, who knows, we'll have some more CPL news as the great offseason begins, I guess, officially today.
Yep.
Okay. We'll see you next week.